Central Arm.
Yes.
Just a moment, sir.
Yes?
Senator Long, 90.
How you getting along?
Oh, I'm so proud of you. Mr. President, I hope you saw this show on TV for 7 hours today.
I saw some of it, and I thought you did a good job.
Well, I'd say that that Wayne G. Morris and Bill Fulbright have an oversized asshole today, because if I do said I really worked them over.
You did, and I just hope that the word gets back home. I don't know why these. I thought that your boy, when you brought out Taylor's boy, was there fighting. I just wish some of these Legion boys come up here and testify.
Mr. President, let me tell you the last of it, though. You probably didn't see my last turn Fulbright, did you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Well, and I just thought it was terrible. I thought the way you worked on him about that dismemberment and cutting little kids up and compared to dropping a bomb, and I didn't think he could have been better.
Mr. President, let me just say this. This, to me, is amusing. Because you got to be there to feel it. When I got through with my 10 minutes working on Fulbright and Morris, Morris was screaming he didn't say that. I said, well, I thought you said publicly somewhere. You said to me so many times privately that I just naturally thought you must have said publicly somewhere. But that's what I thought you said. If you didn't say it, well, that's just it's a misunderstanding. But that's what you said to me 100 times privately.
I think you can prove that he did say get out. I think he said it, and you ought to get a research person busy on it in the morning.
Well, maybe you can. I can't afford any help. Ellen won't let us have a single aide. Well, I said, well, now, but I put that on him, see? And so then went to work on old Fulbright. And when I got through with Fulbright, and when you sit among men, Mr. President, the audience is removed from you by at least 35 feet. So when you sit among men, and when I closed out on Fulbright, there's a way men breathe. They don't sit and just breathe this way. And they just breathe like somebody just died. You understand? And they all breathe that for Fulbright, somebody, this is just murder. Either I died or Fulbright died when I did that. So, and Gore's sitting right next to me, he's the next guy. So Gore's a dove, and he's gonna come up there with his dove wings and see if he can't save Fulbright, I figured, and destroy me. Did you see him?
Yes, sir, I sure did.
Oh, he said, General, it's been so nice to know you. You're a nice fella. And even though we might not agree on everything, it's been nice knowing you. If I just said that the president prayed to me to watch Keith Hall in his wings, Fulbright Hall in his wings, and full ignorant Claiborne Pell comes charging in, and he hadn't seen how I've been waving old glory up there and pride of country and pride of mother and pride of old daddy, and we're not going to pull down the stars and stripes and bring these boys home in dishonor. And did you read all these fighting men who have never been defeated in the history of the country? And you talk about these fellows, and then you turn the old Simon didn't go to work. You only had two men there, old Long and Simon, who were your friends. And time we got through with them, did you see Clifford Case go on there? He wouldn't let the poor general answer a single question. He spent the whole time defending himself.
That's right. Now you're right on that treaty business, and when Rust's there in the morning, you take that now, because the country's looking to you, and you just be sure that you stay in there and hold their feet to the fire, because Rust is gonna need some help, and he's so nice, once in a while you may have to make a point of order and say, I demand to let him answer a question. I'll yield him a minute of my time to answer the question.
Well, Mr. President, I am basically a gut fighter. Now, if you've got that information that Bill Fulbright was at that Soviet embassy the same night I was with you, won't you please let me put that on him on nationwide TV?
Well, I just...
Well, his services in the Senate are not that necessary.
Well, I tell you, the answer is yes, he was there. And he's there from 8 till after 11.
Well, if you've got that, won't you please let me put that on him? Because, Mr. President, I'm a gut fighter. I always play, but keep it split that with me.
The night of the 15th, but I don't think you can come from here. I think if you brought it out at all, you ought to do it inquiringly. You ought to do it, just say now, Morse says here that he spent 3 hours out here at the Soviet embassy, and the Soviet embassy is telling him that they're going to declare war on America. Now, if the Soviet embassy wants to get any message, it looks like to me they ought to be telling the commander-in-chief, and he ought to have to get his information from a conversation with Wayne Moore. Now, these senators that go out here and get these free meals at the Soviet embassy, I understand that maybe some of them right... I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's some of them right here in this room had been out there this week. I never call his name and never say, but you could at least have some real fun.
Mr. President, I just don't have your subtlety. The way I like to fight some damn fellow is just to say that, the night before this mess started, I was sitting down there. If I do say it, a good friend sent for me, the President of the United States. We sat around and talked, and his sweet little wife and daughter asked me to have dinner with him. We sat around and visited and talked about it. If I do say it, I came here pretty well informed, because the President told me some things that other folks don't know. Some of this stuff is very hard to classify that I can't use at all, but I can conduct myself knowing that this is true. Now, the same night, the Senate Arkansas was getting some information and having a nice fair discussion with somebody else. Not the President, it was the Soviet ambassador. the chairman of the committee was being advised by the Soviet ambassador. He spent as much time at the Soviet embassy as I spent at the White House, so I guess we're both equally informed. Now, I've told my side of it. Why don't you take the chair with the chairman and let somebody else act as chairman of the committee while you be with us, and you tell the Soviet side of the argument.
Well, they'll make a McCarthy out of it, and they just destroy you in this damn press, and they would say that we were spying on them, and they'd give you hell like you do Marvin Watson telephone calls that come in here with the newspapers. And
Mr. President, are you sure? Can DeLisle tell me for sure that's correct, that Bill Fulbright was the Soviet embassy while I was with you?
Yeah, but you can't say that, Russell.
Yes, well, if I know it, I can say it in the corridors, can't I? I can say it among senators, among friends, and they just drift around and be just kind of nosed around from place to place.
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't want to do it if it's not true. I wouldn't want to do it if I'm not sure it's true, but if I've got a couple of FBI agents and saw that guy go in there, I'd just as soon pass it around the cloakrooms in the Secretary of State's office, go back and have a drink with the boys and talk about old Fulbright being under the Soviet ambassador while I was with the President. I'd just as soon say that that's based on both sides of being well informed and both sides of being well coached. I'd love to do that, Mr. President, if you'd authorize it, but I've got to be sure I'm right.
Oh, don't you?
But I've got to have the agents themselves tell me that this is okay, this is it.
Well, they won't do that, and but it is correct, but you can't say it.
Well, I won't go that far. I appreciate you saving me, you know, as one of your troops. I just hate to go march off the end of a precipice just to show my loyalty to you.
Well, you're a wonderful fella, and I don't want you to get hurt. I want you to grow, and I want everybody in this country to know you, and to know you in a favorable light, and somebody that loves their country and that keeps its commitments. And you just get that little resolution out there tomorrow when Russ goes in, and just pull it, what Dick Russell said the other night. Just say, now I think I know what I voted for. I may have made some mistakes, and I may have promised more sometimes than I could deliver, and I might have not been able to get a postmaster job for somebody. But I think when I vote for something involving hundreds of thousands of the men I represent, I don't represent Arkansas, and I don't represent Texas, and I don't represent Oregon, but I do represent Louisiana. And when I voted to send hundreds of thousands of men and thousands of those boys from the state of Louisiana, I think I knew what I was voting on. And I just want to tell you, Mr. Rush, here's what we said. We said the United States regards it as vital to its national interest and to world peace, the maintenance of international peace and security in Southeast Asia. And the Congress approves and supports the determination of the President as Commander-in-Chief to take all necessary measures to repel any armed attack, not just one, not just nine, every damn one that occurs. against the forces of the United States and to prevent any further aggression. Now, my God, he said to repel attacks and prevent aggression, and it's in our national interest. And then he went ahead further and said the United States is prepared, as the president may determine, with submarines or airplanes or bombs or gas or anything else, to take all necessary steps, including the use of armed forces, to assist any member or protocol state of the Southeast Asia Collective Defense Treaty. And then Dick Russell said, that's a blank check, and that authorized him to do all these things. But someday we may not want him to do it, and we may want a Welsh, and we might get scared, and we might want to back out. And then he could veto our backing out. And the president said, no, you can put in there this resolution suggested by Senator Russell. He admitted on the floor yesterday that this resolution may be terminated earlier by a concurrent resolution of the Congress. So any of you fellas want to terminate it, offer your motion and call a roll. But for God's sakes, don't go around here bellyaching and have our boys that haven't got time all day to read the New York Times and talk to them and visit with them around here in Carter. They out there in those rice paddies. But you fellas that want to do it, just call a roll now. And if you don't want to withdraw this, you can do it. And poor president can't even veto it. You can do it without it. And I just ask you to do it. If not, for God's sake, let's all get together and unify and support our men. The president's not running for office. He don't care. He's just trying to do the best he can. He inherited all this thing. But let's just cut out our belly aching and quit running. Let's stand up like men and admit that we all voted for this thing. And I knew what I was voting for. And I heard Senator Russell say he knew what he was voting for. And evidently, these other folks didn't know what they voted for. Morris knew what he's voting for. But the rest of them that voted for it now want to find somebody to blame. Now, I'll tell you who to blame. If there's anybody to blame, it ought to be blamed right here, because this committee reported this resolution 31-1. And don't go to jumping out here and jumping on poor old General Taylor, because the only boy he's got's out there dying.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I put that on TV, Mr.
You take all the record of Fulbright, the days he did as a buck private, and Albert Gore, the days he did as a buck private, and Wayne Morris, the time he did as a buck private, and Claiborne Pell, why, it would amount to just zero. And here's Taylor, the only boy in the world he's got. He's out there with them tonight.
Yeah.
And you can just say the American Legion wants to testify.
Yeah. Oh, by all means, we must bring the American Legion, the disabled American war veterans.
You told me the other night this fellow was the ablest fellow you ever heard, this D.A.B.
Oh, Mr. President, that son of a bitch will tear them a new asshole if I...
Ask him, say, why in God's world are you getting all these ex-fellas? Now, just say this fellow Keenan. Everybody knows that he was for containment of Europe.
Yeah.
But because a man's skin's brown, he never has been to Vietnam, and he comes in here and he wants to abandon Asia.
Yeah.
Now, he's an ex-fella that couldn't get along with Atchison, that couldn't get along with Dulles, and couldn't get along with Rusk. Three up, three down. Now, you had him, and I didn't object.
Yeah.
You got Gavin, and he couldn't get along. He had to resign from the Army. He couldn't get along with Eisenhower. He resigned and denounced Eisenhower when he resigned. Then he got in with Kennedy, and Kennedy sent him over to Paris, and he couldn't get along over there. And they had to get him back here. And you got him down, you heard from him. I want to hear from some of these boys that've been out there doing the fight. Every one of these guys been out there. The head of the American Legion's been there. The head of the DAV's been there. The head of the Foreign War's been there. Now, you've got three of your ex-State Department ex-office holders.
Good, you know nobody.
You let me have three of my ex-veterans who are doing this fight.
Yeah.
You're only just talking.
Yeah.
The fellas that are doing it, let's let them get in here.
Yeah.
If you want these hearings to go and you want to get into that, well, that's what you can do.
Yep. Well, if I do say, Mr. President, that's the next move. If I do, you know, you kept me so busy trying to get your bills passed and being jailed passed.